principle says, here it is, unchanging. God's precepts are his laws. They are the words that he dictates to keep us in that foundation. If we get outside of those principles, or precepts, excuse me, the principle is the underline, the precepts are the sidelines that keep us in. It's like a boxing ring. Did you ever notice a boxing ring has a mat, but it also has the ropes around the side? That way the guy that's in the middle of the fight can't get out, right? No, that's to keep you from falling out and landing on the floor, all right? That's what those ropes are there for. They're for your protection. That's what God's word is like to us. So today, I want you to turn to the book of Acts. We're going to begin in the 6th chapter because I'm going to pick up a story. Remember, the Bible teaches us a lot of stuff in story, but it's not just a story. It's not fictional. It's real. Acts chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 8. Acts chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 8. And in this, what we see is Stephen. Stephen was chosen as a replacement to be part of the deacons of the church. Not actually a replacement, because this was when the deacons first came in. And Stephen, being a man filled with the Holy Spirit, started to do some awesome things. So from the 8th verse of the 6th chapter, let us read the word of God. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freemen, including both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen. But they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came up to him and dragged him away and brought him before the council. They put forward false witnesses who said, "This man incessantly speaks against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Nazarene Jesus will destroy this place and alter the customs which Moses handed down to us." And fixing their gaze on him, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel. The high priest said, "Are these things so?" From that point, Stephen begins a dialogue with the people. I came from a denominational background where the word dialogue began to have a very bad connotation, because dialogue in the denomination that I came from meant, we're going to tell you what you think and tell you what you do, and if you don't like it, you can leave. Dialogue is supposed to be two-sided. It's a conversation. And Stephen here begins a dialogue, and it's amazing because I want you to go back. I want you to see what happens when you stand on holy ground. I want you to look at verse 10 in chapter 6. It says, "But they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking." Okay? As Stephen is bringing this dialogue, and they were unable to cope with it. What happens in our world when we bring truth into a conversation in this dark place? All of a sudden, we're bigots. We're hate mongers. You know, what we're doing is hate crime. But yet, we're not the ones tearing down people's places of business. We're not the ones murdering people, burning down people's houses and cars and all this stuff that we see. And yet, we're the ones, because they don't want a dialogue in the true form. They want their rhetoric to replace dialogue. And you and I need to understand something. Did Stephen give up? Did Stephen stop? Let's find out. I want you to go all the way back in chapter 7 to verse 54. From verse 54 in chapter 7, after Stephen's big dialogue, and we're going to get into the heart of the dialogue here in just a minute, but from 54 to the end of the chapter here, these are the words we read. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the quick. I wonder why they were cut to the quick. I think it might have had something to do with the Holy Spirit, don't you? Because he was speaking truth and light and life. And they began gnashing their teeth at him. Doesn't that sound like something a good person would do? But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushing at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Having said this, he fell asleep. Now we know he didn't fall asleep, all right? That is a statement that is used in the Greek, in the ancient Greek, that simply meant Stephen died. They stoned him to death. He held fast to the word of God. Did God preserve him? In a physical sense, no. But in a spiritual sense, you bet, the whole way to the end, to the point. Because remember what the scripture says, anyone you forgive on earth, their sins are forgiven, to the point where he forgave their sin, even as they were killing him. That's being held. That's standing on holy ground at all cost. And you and I need to understand something. For the last 9 weeks, we've been talking about putting on the armor of God, right? We've been talking about what it means to stand firm. Well, this is it, people. Because when you're standing firm, you are standing on holy ground. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. This didn't say anything about standing on holy ground. Go back to verse 33 in chapter 7. This was the whole point of Stephen's speech. He says from 33, "But the Lord said to him," being Moses, "Take off the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." How do you think that hit the men that were listening to him speak in and through the Holy Spirit? That the wisdom and word that he was bringing them, they all knew as truth, but they could not stand on it because they were in filth. They were in their own sin. They were in rebellion against God, so therefore they could not stand on that holy ground. The only one who could was Stephen, and he was calling them to holiness. That's our job. That's what we are to do. That's where we are to be. Every time you and I enter into this world, in any form or manner, we need to understand something. I want you to understand something. You are in battle. You are standing on holy ground. If the Lord Jesus Christ is in you and you have the armor on, you are standing on holy ground. And there are going to be people who are going to come against you in many, many forms and fashion. Don't give in to it. I look at this thing of wearing a mask as one of these very, very things, all right? I hate wearing that mask. It's difficult to breathe in. I can't see because my glasses fog up, so I got to take my glasses off. Now, I can see without my glasses, but I can't read very well without my glasses. So, I put on the mask. Why? Because I don't want to deal with the idiocy. All right? I've heard some of us here have dealt with some of the idiocy. Okay? And praise God for it. But I'm going to tell you right now, whether it's a mask or a mark, are you catching me? Are you catching me? Whether it's a mask or a mark, it's going to come the same way. where it's going to be something so trivial, so stupid, everybody's doing it. How many of you saw the newspaper article about the NBA? And everybody at that first game that they played, they all did it in solidarity. They all knelt down. They all had the BLM t-shirts on. And oh, well, I think we're changing. I think we're sick. We're sick of the fight. We're sick of the nonsense. And we're just not paying attention to it anymore. All we hear, all we get from the media is this negativity. Jesus Christ says, I have come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. Brothers and sisters, that's standing on holy ground. When we are standing on holy ground, we have the principles of God as our foundation. We have the precepts of God keeping us in, hemming us in, and everything inside of that is open and available to us. And we don't have to fear anything. But this world wants us to march in such a manner that if you're a white man, you hate yourself. Why? What did I do? Well, look at what the ancestors did. Excuse me. They're dead. I don't know anybody that's alive that is suffering the stuff that we're being told is being suffered. We've got NBA players who make millions of dollars a year telling us that they're oppressed. Great, if you're oppressed, give me your money. Yeah, you heard that. Don't tell me you're oppressed when you're making several million dollars a year to throw a leather ball at a freaking rope hoop or a baseball or a football. Give us some reality here, people. We live in the greatest country in the world. We live in a place that God has blessed unto the prosperity where you can play a sport, come out of a situation of living in poverty and make $13 million a year because you're gifted. Because you're what? Yeah, that's not yours. You don't own it. It was given to you. By whom? The Holy Spirit. And you better believe that. It is so amazing to me. And yeah, Pastor's a little fired up. I am really getting tired of this stuff. And I am telling you right now, we need to reclaim our birthright. We were born again in Christ Jesus, not to grovel, but to set the captives free. And we have to take that word out into this world. I'm telling you right now, there are some of you here right now, today, who are struggling with this stuff, trying to understand where I fit, what belongs, is this good, is that good, you know, what is up, what is down. And in our world, we don't know because today it's okay and tomorrow it's not. We need to remember that God has a way that is good and we need to live in it. For man has a way that he thinketh is good, but in the end it leads to death. And that is living to self. And that is what all this stuff that is happening to us is about. It's about self and not us. It's about their interests, their agenda. And unfortunately, their agenda, the agenda that they are pushing, is even going to defeat the them because it's going to tear down our society. I want you all to think about something right now, and I don't know whether you have. How close to complete and total collapse are we right now? Yeah. All it will take is one large event, and the entire world will collapse. Our financial institutions are stretched to the limit. Our political world is at such divide. We have never been closer to civil war since the Civil War than we are right now. Yeah, I'm putting this out there on the internet. I hope everybody hears this because this is a truth. I'm not making this stuff up. We have economists. We have sociologists that are telling us right now, if something doesn't change within the next month, we may not be able to bring this thing back. That means we're not even going to get to the election, people. Because I'm going to tell you right now, one way or another, we get to November, there will be a meltdown. One way or another, there will be a meltdown. Are you ready for that? Oh God, I am. Because I know I'm standing on holy ground. I want you to think about what happened to Brother Stephen. Brother Stephen perished. Are you ready to give up your life to give the truth of the light of Christ to this world? Or are you going to hang on to it? It's the difference between a mask and a mark. Are you understanding me? Are you getting me out there? We have got to understand we are standing on holy ground and we cannot get off of it. We have got to remember we are in Christ Jesus and He has us covered. We have on all the armor. We are carrying our shield of faith and we are wielding the sword of truth, the sword of the Word, which is the truth of God. Amen? And that sword is not to defeat others, but to protect ourselves. We need to remember that. And it's here for you. Yes, Brendan, it's here for you. Okay, it's yours. Claim it. Ruth Ann, is it here for you? And if you're out there on the internet, it's here for you. All you have to do is claim it and walk in it. I'm not a claim it and proclaim it gospel where, you know, oh, I want $1 million. I'm going to claim it and I'm going to get it. No, that's not me. You all know that. I need you to walk in it. That means it's going to be a struggle. How many can say amen to that? It's going to be a fight. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be the most worthwhile thing you're doing. And Charles, I'm talking to you because you're getting ready to leave us. You're not going to have the sanctity of this place. You're not going to have the safety of all these people guiding you and there for you. You're going to be out there alone. A sheep entering into the place of wolves. Why do you think we laid hands on you this morning? Just as we do every one of our young people that we send out. That's also why we pray together, amen, so that we bolster one another up. We need to understand we are not to be afraid during this time. We are to understand what God has promised us. And here is a precept. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 13, or a principle, excuse me. I keep getting the two mixed up, especially when I'm excited. Hebrews 13. Hebrews in chapter 13, we're going to be in verses 5 through 8. And this is funny because, yeah, I went there already. You'll see what I mean when we read the word. From Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 5, it says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will men do to me? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct. Imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. You and I need to understand God is here with us. He was there with Moses, and Moses stood in front of the most powerful man on the planet, the Pharaoh of Egypt. And Pharaoh couldn't kill him. When you and I are to the place where we have come and we have aligned ourselves to stand on holy ground, to stand on the precepts, or stand within the precepts and on the principles of God, the principle here being, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, does that mean you can't leave God? No, not at all. Because you can take your helmet off, you can take your breastplate off, you can take your belt of truth and your sandals and throw your faith in the closet and put your sword in the knife drawer, right? And many of us do that, don't we? And if we do that, you're on your own. That's a bad place to be in this world today. So we need to make sure that we're putting that armor on every day. And then once we have put the armor on, what does it say to do? Stand firm then. Stand firm where? On holy ground. Remember, we have our feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel. We have the truth belt around, the belt of truth around our loins. We have the righteousness of Christ on as a blessed breastplate, the helmet of salvation. We have Christ on. He is right there with us, and wherever He is holy ground. What does that say about you as an individual? You are His holy temple. And where you are, there the Lord is. Act like it. Remember it. You know, every time I walk out my front door, there's a sign above the door. How many of you look at the knickknacks and knickerbrack that you have hanging on your walls anymore? We put it up there because we like it. But after 15 years, you don't even know it's there. How many of you have dusted the cobwebs off of that stuff in the last 2 years? Okay? I'm going to pick on my son right now. I go down to his house, and every time I go down, I look up the ceiling fans because they're full of cobwebs. And I laugh. He doesn't see them anymore. He lives there. We need to look around. We need to see where we are at all times. Remember who we are, whose we are at all times. Because you see, there's something I want you to all understand. Standing on holy ground is an action of faith. Standing on holy ground is an action of faith. You have to consciously do it. And are you ready to do that? Are you ready to say in your life, every day, every step of your way, I am standing on holy ground, remembering whose you are and who you are, and taking that ground for Jesus Christ? Isn't that how wars are fought? By taking ground? How many of us are literally saying, Lord, I am advancing for the gospel. At this place I'm getting ready to enter into, I'm dedicating it unto you. You know, when they landed on the shores of America, Christopher Columbus put down a flag and said, it's mine. No, Christopher Columbus put down a flag and he prayed to God, dedicating this place to God and the Queen. Okay? He's still a worldly guy, right? But he dedicated it to God. How many of us dedicate this place to God? And by this place, I mean wherever you are. How many of you go into your house and you're alone and all you do is sit there depressed and wondering, you know, oh, what am I going to do today? Oh, it's terrible. I'm all alone. I ain't got nothing. You're standing on holy ground. God's right there wanting to join in. Man, the roof should be rocking. There should be praise music playing on the radio, and we should be up on the rooftop. Isn't that what the scripture says? Shouted from the rooftops. Oh, but we can't do that. Yeah, oh, that's politically incorrect. I'm glad I'm politically incorrect. Because I don't care what other people think about me. What I care about is, do you see the Lord in me? Am I portraying the Lord to others? Jesus says He'll never leave us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. As He was in the past, so is He today, so will He be tomorrow, if we'll let Him in our lives. I'm going to tell you right now, we have a hard time because in those times, we're not standing on holy ground. We're standing in ourselves. We're standing in the world and in the fear that the world wants us to receive. I want you to understand, these men that came at Stephen, they wanted him to fear. Okay? They wanted his persecution was there for what? For the fact of fear. These people are out there rioting and getting their way because of what? Because of fear. You know, I have to laugh because the governor out there in Oregon, was it the governor or the mayor of the city out there, Seattle, I think it was, Portland, Oregon. And he went and joined the BLM people. What did they do to him? They beat him up and sprayed him with tear gas. How'd that work for you? It just makes me laugh. I need to laugh. I need to look at this stuff and say, even these people don't agree with each other. There's a problem. Because truth begets truth. And we understand that. We need to walk in that. We need to hold on to that. Because God says he's going to be there for us. Because this is God's promise. That's his precept. I will never leave you. I am the same every day of every day. Then we need to act according to what we believe. Okay? First, remember God's promise. Second, act according to what you believe. Turn in your Bibles to Luke. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. And I'm in chapter 21. Chapter 21. And I'm going to be reading verses 10 through 19. Verses 10 through 19. This is Jesus talking about the things that are yet to come. All right? This is Jesus talking about our day. This is Jesus talking to you and I right now, all right? And the Lord spoke to them and said, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony." It will what? It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. Are you going to stand on holy ground while you're being persecuted? So make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourself. For I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. Standing on holy ground means it's his battle. He will give you what's needed. He will fight through you, but you have to submit to him, he who is our Lord and Savior. But you will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. Yet not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Did you just hear that? When we're standing on holy ground, there is no guarantee that you're not going to perish in this life. But brothers and sisters, is our hope in this world? You know, I graduated from Lancaster Bible College, and the alma mater at Lancaster Bible College is, "My hope is in the Lord." My hope is not in this world. I get to live in this world and do things in this world and have fun and meet friends like you and find new people and enjoy the things that God has given us here, but we're aliens here. We're visitors here. We're from another kingdom. And that kingdom is yet to come. And doesn't matter what happens to this physical body, because my eternal soul will live with Christ unto the day he restoreth all things. And then his kingdom will be here forever and ever and ever. And we need to remember, we're all passing through. You know, how many of us get out alive? Two. And guess what? They're coming back. For what reason? To die. Two got out alive. And they're coming back just to die. Now, some pretty awesome things are going to happen in that time. But it is truth. God said it. And it amazes me because it says in the scriptures, "It is appointed unto man once to die." Now, wait a minute, Lord. Two of them got out. They're coming back. Did you ever read the book? Did you ever see that? That there's going to be two? These two? Yeah, I wonder who they are. We don't have to wonder very far. We know their names. Enoch and Elijah. They're coming back. And they're going to give it up too. But they're going to hold to a higher calling. They're going to stand on holy ground. And they'll stand on it yet again in eternity after they've perished. The point of I'm trying to get across here is this is all by faith. Everything that we do is by faith. And we have to act according to what we believe. Are you going to worry about what you have to say? Are you going to worry about what you're going to run into? Are you going to worry? Are you going to worry? Are you going to... How many of you right now are worried about something that's going to happen on Monday? The reality is we're all thinking about Monday right now because I made you think about it. Well, I don't know what's going to happen on Monday. Well, wonderful. Stop worrying about Monday, okay? Even though I told you to, stop. Because Monday's going to get here, you're not going to stop it from getting here. And how do you know whether you're going to be here when Monday comes? You don't. Don't worry about these things. Let it to God. Men may be able to kill the body, but only God can destroy the soul. And I'm going to tell you right now, far worse it shall be for those who receive that destination than those of us who die at the hands of man. Now, there's a lot of people out there right now that are going to say, oh my gosh, he's talking about death and destruction and No, I'm talking about life. Please understand me. I have life. I don't fear death. So I am not going to allow the things of this world to stop me from being the man I am. I don't want you to allow it to stop you from being the woman or man that you are. Because God wants us to succeed in all things. Now, we have to live with sinful people. Did God destroy these people that we are speaking of here? No, man did. Because of sin in our world. We need to understand that. God says, remember my promises, act according to faith, and hold fast and stand firm to what you know. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Yes, I know I am running way over, and I do apologize for that, but I am going to end here with this scripture. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in 19 through 25. I love this because this scripture gives me the strength that I need in times of weakness. I love this scripture because when I doubt, when I falter, all I have to do is turn to this scripture, read this scripture, and remember what I know and hold fast to it. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence, this is from verse 19, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing nigh. Brothers and sisters, this world wants to shut us down. Wants to shut us down. And I don't mean necessarily the church, but yes, the church. The world wants to shut us down as people, as individuals. They don't want us flying. They don't want us going shopping. They don't want us going on vacation. Why? Because those things are supposed to be reserved for the elite. And that ain't you, and that ain't me. And if you don't see the divide, your eyes are closed. Wake up, old sleeper. We are seeing far greater racism than black and white. We are seeing what we began with, the love of money. And it is pushing our world to the point of breaking. And it is going to destroy everything that we know. Choose yourself this day whom you will serve, mammon or God. Because I'm telling you right now, that's what's happening in our world. It's not about politics. It's not about Democrat and Republic, because it goes into the entire world, and there are no Democrats and Republicans in England or India or China. There are the haves and the have-nots, and the haves are using the ignorance of the have-nots who aren't in Christ Jesus to push the agenda the way they want it. And if you read the scriptures in the book of Revelation, you will find that Satan does not share his glory with anybody. He destroys everybody that is with him in the end, and then he himself is destroyed. But God shares his glory with all of us. He says we are heirs to everything. Everything is ours. That's the difference, people. That's what we're trying to show. I got goosebumps so bad I'm about crawling out of my own skin. Because, folks, we don't have a God who is selfish, who keeps it all to himself. We have a God who lavishes upon us the graces of mercy and compassion, of hope and of life and of love. And when you and I stand in that, when you and I walk in that, we have a freedom to literally express to the people who are walking in darkness, wake up, O sleeper, let the light of Christ shine upon you. We should be in tears for every one of these people who has been duped. We need to remember standing on holy ground is something that has to happen every day of our lives. And we have to choose it. And we have to fight for it. Not just for ourselves, but for a world that's lost. Jesus fought for it. Where did he fight for it, folks? Did he fight for it on the cross? No. Jesus fought for it in the garden. Who was with him in the garden? A couple of disciples were sitting several yards away, but the reality was Jesus was by himself. Are you willing to fight? Where's it got to begin? Because when he went to the cross, nothing could keep him from going to the cross. Do you see the difference? He had to get himself prepared, because then as he went to the cross, he was on holy ground the whole way. Nothing could keep him from the cross. The fight took place alone in a dark place. Are you willing to stand on holy ground? You're going to have to fight the dark places. And that begins right here. Do you hear me, Charles? Begins right here. You're going to be tempted. Don't go there. You're going to be tempted. Don't go there. You're going to be tried. Don't go there. Claim the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and stand on holy ground. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, I thank you for our hearers. I ran us almost an hour. Father, I ask your forgiveness for that, but this is a word I needed to preach because of what's happening around us, and it's happening quick. So, Father, I ask that you would bless our people. Bless the hearers who are out there on the internet, for all who are on Facebook. And, Lord, I just ask that you would strengthen us, that we may be able to stand on holy ground, that our eyes would be open to see the truth and understand that your precepts are here and your principles are here to hold us in and to keep us safe. May we choose Christ every day and every moment. And may we stand on holy ground no matter what the cost. Because the cost does not outweigh what you paid for us. And may we hold fast to that truth. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.